Alright, welcome back everyone. This is our week 6 review show, going over our predictions that we made, how we did against the spread, and our record for the week. Going to review every game, and then we're going to go over the best thing that we saw in week 6. This week, Kevin, I was 8-7, Mr. Means I was plus $100 on the week, and Ryan was also 8-7, despite the numerous differences on the picks, so we were both plus $100 on the week. We had a lot of different picks though, so I don't know how we both ended up 8-7, but we're both in the plus, for money made, against the spread. But first game of the week was Eagles versus Giants. So we're going to start off with that one. The Eagles beat the Giants 34-13 in New York. Kevin had the Giants plus 3, Ryan had the Eagles minus 3, and the over of 44, both of those hit. What did you see from the Eagles blowout win in New York?
This was a big game for the Eagles. I know the Giants aren't very good, but this is the type of game that Eagles fans have been waiting for. Carson Wentz looked really good. 26 of 36, 278, and three touchdowns, no interceptions. This looked like 2017 Carson Wentz.
Agreed.
On the first touchdown of the game, you just saw he saw the rush coming, gets out of the pocket. He's scrambling, throws into a tight window on the run to Alshon Jeffrey. Completely broken down play, but still made something happen. Alshon Jeffrey showed up this week,
two touchdowns.
He's starting to look more like he did early in his career with the Bears. Good signs for the Eagles. Not so much for the Giants.
Not at all.
Eli Manning, 24 of 43, 281 yards passing, no touchdowns, and an interception. But that really doesn't tell the tale. This Giants offense and Eli, they're not very good. Crazy stat here. Eli Manning, air yards per completion on Thursday night was 2.4.
2.4?
Yeah. So team just... There's way too much talent on this team to be this bad. They shouldn't be throwing the ball two and a half yards in the air.
Mm-hmm. Check down after check down.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
The one bright side was Saquon Barkley, obviously.
Very bright.
130 yards rushing, 99 yards receiving. Huge day for him.
I agree with just about everything you said. Let's start with the Eagles. When I went back and watched the tape, it looked like MVP Carson Wentz. And on that first drive, or in that first quarter, the across the field throw out of the pocket to Alshon, that was legit. That gave me encouragement that, all right, he's back to where he was. And just as a team for the Eagles, I think this kind of proved the whole Super Bowl hangover is over. Everyone expected that to happen. It happens to nearly every team that was in the Super Bowl and loses it. It's a Super Bowl hangover. It happens all the time. And we saw that. They were 2-3 in the first five games, but this was a must-win game for them to get their season back on track, and a winnable game that they, of course, should have won, and they did. And now over to the New York side, goodbye, Eli. That's it, I think. I think they trade Eli before the deadline. I think a guy that they should be looking at, I haven't really seen... you know, any good fits for them, what people are talking. But I think Jacoby Brissett, out of the blue, I think he could be a good fit for them. Because right now, I can't really think of another guy. Maybe Tyrod Taylor, but I don't know. I like Jacoby Brissett as a fit for them, but I think Eli gets traded to the Jaguars because of the Coughlin connection and Jacksonville, yeah, and what's going on with Bortles. I think that's interesting to keep an eye on. But yeah, back to this game. The check down after check down, short pass. What was it? 2.4 average yards per throw in the air. That's terrible. I mean, you pay Odell Beckham Jr. $90 million, and it's not that they can't go downfield. Number one, they don't have the time to go downfield. Number one, when they try, it's a missed pass by Eli. But like you said, Barkley looked really good. I was questioning them picking him at 2 earlier in the year. And after this game, I think they made the right decision. I mean, that 57-yard run he had, however long it was, bouncing off tackles, that was ridiculous. He had 9 receptions for 99 yards. Just looked very good. A question I have for you about the Eagles, and this is what we talked about in the preview show, was you talked about Jay Ajayi being out, and you said in a little fantasy question you wouldn't start any Eagles running back. And, you know, Wendell Smallwood, 18 carries, 51 yards. Corey Clement, 11 carries, 43 yards and a touchdown. I liked what he kind of did. But is this a can the Eagles keep up this running by committee for the rest of the year? Or do you think they're going to need Ajayi to come back and rely on that workhorse back? Or can their offense thrive off this committee, kind of what they've been doing so far?
Well, whether the Eagles like it or not, I think they're going to have to continue with it, whether it works or not. It worked Thursday night. I think they're going to stick with it for as long as they can, assuming that they don't trade for a running back by the trade deadline like they did last year. I think they like what they get from the different runners, Smallwood keeping plays
right,
going,
they're very different,
and,
yeah.
And Clement, the speed guy, can catch out of the backfield. I think they just, they like what they have, and I don't think that either guy will see a huge, an overwhelming majority of the carries.
I agree. I actually thought Clement was going to get the load of the carries last week, but it turned out to be Smallwood who had seven more carries than Clement. But, you know, they got it going in the passing game. Alshon Jeffery looked good. They got the win. That's all that matters. So Philadelphia moves to 3-3. New York moves now to 1-5 in last place in the NFC East. We're going to move on now to a crazy game in Miami, Bears versus Dolphins, where the Dolphins have beaten the Bears 31-28 in overtime. As the Dolphins move to 4-2, and Chicago moves to 3-2. Both Ryan and I took Chicago -3, but obviously that did not happen as they lost the game. Ryan, we're gonna start you off with this because I have a lot to say. What did you see from this game in Miami?
The Bears looked pretty good, even though they lost.
Right.
And tough loss, but Albert Wilson, two amazing touchdown catch and runs. I mean, just break tackle after tackle. He just went off, and sometimes that happens.
Game-breaking
six for
plays.
155 mm-hmm. for two touchdowns. They were both amazing runs. I thought Trubisky looked good. Just
very good.
I would have liked to see him lead the game-winning drive. I know play calling has probably a lot to do with that, but
are you talking about the one where they settled for the 53-yarder that Parkey missed?
Just, I mean, he had a drive at the end of the game, right, after the Dolphins scored.
Yeah, well,
they
that
got
was
the ball back,
yeah.
And then in overtime. I mean, you just would hope that he can develop that ability to go down the field
mm-hmm.
and win. I think you're seeing Tariq Cohen take over.
Oh, yeah.
Even though Jordan Howard had 69 yards rushing.
Half of those came from the overtime runs.
Yeah, I think Cohen just fits this offense better. He's a better back. They want him in there so that they can move the ball quick. They don't have to take Howard out when they want to pass the
mm-hmm.
ball. Taylor Gabriel, game-breaking speed. But I think the biggest thing from this game was the Brockett ship taking off.
No.
A little bit of Brocktoberfest.
No. Oh, God.
If you know what I'm saying. 28 of 44, 380 yards passing, three touchdowns, two interceptions. I mean, this guy came in not knowing he was starting. Ryan Tannehill out. So he steps in, the Brock star. Just comes in, huge game, brocked the Bears like a hurricane.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just what a game for a guy that people thought was long gone.
Yeah, I mean, the line moved from -3 to -7 right before game time when the community found out Osweiler was starting. So that goes to show.
The Brock Ness monster, he just returned. And what a game.
All right. There is so much to say about this game. As a Bears fan, I'm pretty upset about it, but listen, everyone that's talking about it is berating. They're all berating the Bears, and everyone needs to kind of chill out right now. If you're a Bears fan, if you're a Bears analyst, all that. Listen, we're still in first place. Although the Packers won, although the Vikings won, still in first place because they got that tie over there. So that's encouraging. And now let's go to the game. Something that a lot of people, I didn't even think of this either before going into the game, and no one talked about it. Adam Gase, head coach of the Dolphins, versus Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator of the Bears. Why this is significant is because 2 years ago, Adam Gase was in Chicago while Vic Fangio was in Chicago, so they kind of know each other. So Gase was clearly able to game plan against Fangio. And the biggest problem for the Bears was they did not get pressure, but Brock Osweiler got the ball out pretty quick, and that was a lot of what Gase wanted to do. And then down the stretch, you see Albert Wilson get those two touchdowns on the terrible tackles. I'm not going to blame it on the Heat, but people underestimate the power of that Heat and its ability to wear down players, especially in an overtime game when you play. And that was a long game too. 31 points by Miami. There's a lot of scoring. Defense is on the field a lot. It's very easy for a team like that to go down and get hurt and pulled muscles, whatever it is, in that Heat. And you that was very evident in those final drives in the fourth quarter of the game. The first half is what I kind of talked about with that bye effect. They were shut out in the first half, and then they exploded in the third quarter. So I was a little worried in the first half. I was like, uh-oh, here we go. This is what I talked about. You know, will they be able to come back after the bye? And I think this is something every team struggles with. But, you know, 21 points in the third quarter. Trubisky was on point in the second half. So I'm glad they were able to pick that up. This is just a game full of little mistakes that I don't think will happen in the future. You see Jordan Howard fumble at the one-yard line. If he scores that touchdown, the Bears win the game. You see Tariq Cohen fumble in the fourth quarter when they have potential game-winning drive. You know, I don't think that doesn't happen all the time. Albert Wilson, like you said, scoring those touchdowns. These are just game-breaking plays. This is very specific circumstances. So, I mean, the Bears committed self-inflicted wounds, and good teams don't do that, but they're still an improving team. They're still growing, and I think this is a great learning experience for them on how to be strong in these close games. And let's not even talk about the refs. There was a terrible call on Khalil Mack. He was held on the third down play in the fourth quarter. I don't know if you saw it. They called Trey Burton for pass interference on a pick play, which was clearly a design pick, and that negated the touchdown. We settled for a field goal. That was horrible. But again, this team is going to lose these types of football games throughout the year because they're still a growing team, growing coach. I know, Nagy was conservative, you know, down the stretch there. They had the 3rd and 4, and what everyone is criticizing for is, you know, Trubisky's been hot. Why don't you throw the ball on 3rd and 4, and then you settle for exactly, a 53-yard field goal? You know, I didn't like that personally. But, you know, in the press conference the next day, he said he has complete trust in Parkey. I like to see that. You know, trust in your players is what you want. But I think that's something that will change over time. Once you get more confidence as a team, you're gonna go for that. You know, it's really not that hard. You throw a slant at Taylor Gabriel. Taylor Gabriel looked really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
110 yards.
110 yards. He's proving to be very effective down the threat. He's really working on this offense. He's kind of reminding me of Tyreek Hill in that KC offense last year. You know, both Tariq Cohen and Taylor Gabriel kind of reminded me of Tyreek Hill. So, again, what were you saying?
I was just going to say a couple more points about Miami. Frank Gore he's taken over that backfield. Yeah.
Everyone thought Kenyon Drake would be the primary back at the beginning of the year. He's a big fantasy target. But
35 years old, and he took over. This was just a bad day for the Bears defense. Don't expect this all the time.
No.
Miami had 541 total yards with Brockett power. It's the most yards that they've had since 1988 with Dan Marino as their quarterback. Wow. So this was just a perfect storm. The Bears have a really good defense.
Yeah,
and if you only watch that game, it wouldn't look like it. But it was just wrong place, wrong time with the Dolphins just ready to Brock and roll.
Completely. I mean, Khalil Mack was injured throughout the game. He rolled his ankle. You could tell he was not as explosive. But again, people, this Bears defense is validated. They're justified. They're top five in the league. This is going to happen here and there. Don't question the Bears defense. They are validated without a doubt. I don't want to see anything. You know, Kyle Fuller, 2 interceptions, that's very promising. The linebackers played good. Secondary just broke down. They missed some tackles. It happens. Definitely top five defense. I expect them to rebound next week against the Patriots. So we'll see how that goes. We'll do that on our review podcast, the preview podcast for week 7 on Thursday. But from now on, we're going to move on to, we're going to go to Buffalo and Houston right now.
A little bit of a boring game.
Very upset to see Nathan Peterman throw it away in the end, but Houston wins 20-13, putting them to 3-3, and Buffalo 2-4. Both Ryan and I had picked Buffalo +8.5, so we both hit on that because they covered by 7. So what did you see from this Houston-Buffalo game that was closer than I think more people thought?
Yeah, I mean, the Bills just, they're not a great team. They'll always fight in the game, but they just don't have a ton of explosive weapons. Mm-hmm. None of their wide receivers had over 50 yards. Josh Allen goes down after only 84 yards.
That looks bad. Looks like he might be out a few weeks.
UCL injury. Like, a lot of pitchers get that in the mm-hmm. MLB.
Ligament injury.
Out for at least a month.
Wow, is it really at least a month?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Well, folks, get ready to see the Peterman for a month.
I mean, Peterman came in, and he actually didn't look that bad.
Yeah, I agree. I watched the tape.
He had a nice touchdown throw to Zay Jones. I mean, those two interceptions, that's what he does. He throws interceptions. But prior to those two drives, he didn't look awful. He was
made some intermediate passes,
61 yards throwing, a touchdown, two interceptions. I mean, it just happens sometimes you throw interceptions. Right. But, I mean, Houston, not a good game for them.
No,
it doesn't matter
how
bad Buffalo fought or how hard they fight. I mean, Deshaun Watson, 15 completions on 25 attempts, 177 yards passing.
Careless with the football.
Two interceptions. Just not a good day. Hopkins with another touchdown, 61 yard receiving. Just this wasn't a good game for Houston if they're trying to convince people that they're back.
Yeah, they have won three in a row, but I'm also not convinced that they're back. What I really liked from Buffalo was the pass rush. 7 sacks on the Texans. That is a good pass rush. Jerry Hughes coming off the edge looked really nice, and I watched the tape, and they were just getting to the quarterback every single time. They forced Watson to turn the ball over, which kept them in the game. It was nice to see LeSean McCoy get in a little bit, 16 carries for 73 yards. I know he's still coming back. I think he'll be a little bit more effective in the future. But, God, you know, the Buffalo has a chance to win this game, 13-13 with 2 minutes left, and then Peterman just careless throw. I mean, this is what he does, like you said. He's inaccurate, but he just makes terrible decisions. He doesn't have great vision on the field. And it's just so unfortunate to see a game thrown away like that. It's such a winnable game. I actually think they definitely could have won the game if Josh Allen was still in.
Yeah, 100%.
He didn't look terrible. Only 84 yards, but again, he was hurt. 10 for 17, not too bad. But, yeah, Texans, not sure about them yet. I think the Bills would have won without Peterman. I want to say Kelvin Benjamin looked good here and there. He had a nice down-the-field catch that was negated by a penalty. So I would like to see them getting him going more, because I think if he's a downfield threat for them, that will be effective for Buffalo. But Watson, this was not pictured in the box score. Watson did fumble 3 times. So, again, that's a testament to the Bills' pass rush, but also to Watson's carelessness. He has not looked like the guy he was last year. We've seen it every week. And I don't know if he's ever going to be, like we said, I don't know if he's ever going to be the guy that we thought he was going to be after the 6 games last year. So, we'll have to see, but not impressive from the Texans, although they're 3-3. Texans win 20-13. Both of us got that right, plus 8.5. So let's move on now. We're going to go to Tampa Bay at Atlanta, where Atlanta has won 34-29, pushing them to 2-4, and Tampa Bay to 2-3, and Jameis' second game back. I had Atlanta minus 3.5, and Ryan had Tampa plus 3.5, so I got that right. Ryan got that wrong, but what did we see from Atlanta in Jameis' second start in kind of a shootout game?
He looked pretty good. 395 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
He throws picks.
Yeah, he throws picks. Tried to throw into a tight window in the red zone and ended up bouncing off a helmet, getting picked off. He overthrew Deshaun Jackson. It got picked off. That's just who he is. He loves to throw the ball, throw it. Thinks he can make every throw, and that's just how it goes for him. Tampa Bay's run game actually looked better this week.
I liked Barber.
Peyton Barber, 13 rushes for 81 yards. So
he had a pass catching touchdown too.
This year he averages 3.7 yards per carry. This week he had 6.3 yards per carry. So a pretty good showing from him. But Matt Ryan looked like he was back to his MVP form. Not saying he will be back there for the rest of the season.
Is he elite?
No. But
that's a different topic for a different day.
He had a really good day. Over 350 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's just what he's going to have to do for this Falcons team to compete. Their defense is horrible. So many injuries. It's always going to have to be a shootout with them. Julio, 143 yards receiving, but still no touchdowns.
He came close. He caught a ball, got down about the 8-yard line. He's getting close, but they're still not targeting him in the red zone. Yes, this is exactly what we thought it was. It was a shootout, and like I said, when I made this prediction, I was like, "All right, I'm gonna eliminate the defense from my prediction. I'm gonna go based off of offense," and I believed Atlanta had the better offense, and that was proven. Kind of concerning that Devonta Freeman just went on IR. He didn't do anything last week. Did he play?
He didn't play.
He did not play. That is right. He did not play. He played the week before.
2 weeks ago,
did not play this week and has now just been put on IR. So they're going to have to rely on Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith, who has actually recorded 3 touchdowns in his past 3 games. He is a rookie. But yes, this Falcons D is still terrible. Don't think that they're better because they are terrible. They let out 29 points. They are not good. The Buccaneers D, also not good. They have just fired defensive coordinator Mike Smith after five weeks of play. So that's going to get worse. You know, when you fire a defensive coordinator, players don't know what to do. That'll get worse. You were right about Cameron Brate. You predicted him as a sleeper pick for fantasy. He got into the end zone. A guy that I really liked was OJ Howard. He wasn't expected to play this week. He had 4 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown. Looked really explosive. Loved what I saw from him. I think this is a Tampa Bay offense that can be good. You know, they're going to do what they always do. They're going to hit DeSean Jackson for 30 yards. They're going to get big gains. I would like to see them be a little bit more productive in the red zone and Jameis not be too costly with the football. But I want to talk about the last play of the game. Do you think if DeSean catches the ball, he scores? It kind of looked like there was a swarm of Falcons coming, but I think he scores.
See, the thing with that play is if you look at it, you got the Falcons defense, and they're running full speed to the other sideline. DeSean Jackson is standing still when he catches the ball. DeSean Jackson is one of the fastest players to ever play in the league. I mean, this guy just has amazing speed. I think he does get it, but he said he would have walked in backwards. I don't know about that. I think he would have had to do an all-out dive. I think they would have had to check this replay for a good 5 minutes to see what came first, the knee out down, the hand out of bounds, or the ball over the pylon. But wow, what a play design.
It was designed.
Yeah, when you saw Jameis Winston just start running up the field, you're like, what are they doing? And then all of a sudden, Mike Evans can throw that ball a little higher. Jackson can get there.
Well, the problem was DeSean. You know, he saw the guys coming. He got too anxious. He kind of leaned toward the end zone. He leaned toward the goal line because he wanted to get a head start. And he lost control of the football. It was not a great toss for Mike Evans, but it was a hard play to make regardless. Can't get too critical about assumptions there, but
yeah.
Falcons 2-4 still don't think they're legit.
This is the end of the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think that's the end.
They might win 6 to 7 games this year, but
they're just not enough talent.
They're done competing, I think, in the NFC South.
They'll be in competitive games, but playoffs definitely not in their future. All right, let's move on to Arizona versus Minnesota. That final was 27-17, putting Minnesota at 3-2-1 in second place in the NFC North, and putting Arizona at 1-5. With rookie quarterback Josh Rosen. Both Ryan and I picked Arizona plus 10.5. So that hit because they lost by 10, so just barely snuck out there. What did you see from this game and a pretty easy win for the Vikings?
I think Josh Rosen, he doesn't look bad right now. He's not
terrible.
He's not having a ton of success, but that's more due to lack of weapons, I think. 240 yards throwing. David Johnson's just not being used enough.
It's so frustrating.
I think he had like 2 catches or something. He's one of the most dynamic players, I think, in the league when he gets going.
Agreed.
And he's just not being used enough. But I do think it's interesting. I think Christian Kirk is taking over the wide receiver one role for the Cardinals. I think this is going to be the first time in 14 years that Larry Fitzgerald will not be slotted in as the wide receiver one going forward. I just think...
Rookie, by the way. Christian Kirk's a rookie.
Yeah, I think Rosen, for whatever reason, maybe he just has more chemistry from practice or whatever with Christian Kirk. But Larry Fitzgerald just not producing. He's at the end of his career. I think he was caught off guard a little bit. Carson Palmer leaving. I think last year probably should have been his last year.
I think this is it for
him. But yeah, I think this will be his last season. But Minnesota, it wasn't a great day for them through the air. Kirk Cousins, only 230 yards throwing, a touchdown and interception. Yeah. It wasn't a typical day for Cousins, but they got their run game going, which was good to see. Adam Thielen, another big game.
Six straight games now with 100-plus receiving yards. That is an NFL record.
58 receptions so far this year is the most through six games in NFL history. Mm-hmm. People were saying, oh, he's a gritty receiver. You know, he's kind of like Danny Amendola or like the typical Patriot slot receiver. This guy is a number one wide receiver. He's
downfield threat.
Yeah, a really, really good wide receiver. He's not just a slot receiver that can get a couple of yards here and there. This guy is a wide receiver one, no doubt.
Agreed. Completely agreed. Yeah, there's not a lot to say about this game. I just wanted to note that Josh Rosen is actually fourth worst in the league right now in inside of the pocket quarterback rating, which is concerning because that's who he is. They drafted him because he's a pocket passer. You know, doesn't help with the offensive line. I'm sure that's a huge factor, but you know, I feel like guys who aren't mobile, guys who can't create their own plays, they're a dying breed in the NFL, and I don't know. I might be wrong.
I agree with what you're saying. You don't even have to be like a read option quarterback. You just got to be able to move a little bit.
Look at Jared Goff. He's a perfect example. He's a designed pocket passer, but you know he can move a little bit. He can make plays, and that's an offense that's complete spread offense. So you know you got five wide receivers. You got nobody in the backfield. So you trust Jared Goff in that situation to be able to move. So. Well, he's still developing. He's still a rookie. I'm not going to stress too much about it because I don't think we have a big enough sample size after his second game to figure out, you know, who he is yet. So we'll see. But I don't like what the Cardinals are doing with David Johnson. They got to figure out something over there on how to use him effectively. It's ridiculous with all the talent that he has that he's not producing the way he should. So we'll see. You know, they're a team that's clearly out of the playoffs and that just need to figure out a few things for next year. Yeah. Hopefully get a high draft pick. We'll see. But Minnesota, good rebound win for them. We'll see if they can keep that up. Not sure yet. Still don't really know where they are after a few tough losses and a few good wins. So we'll see. We're going to move on now, though. We're going to go to Los Angeles Chargers at the Cleveland Browns, where the Chargers have won 38-14. I actually had the Chargers minus one, so I hit that, and so did Ryan. You had the Chargers minus one as well, so yeah. I thought you Cleveland for some reason. All right, so we both got that one. Chargers moved to 4-2, now second in the AFC West. Cleveland moves now to 2-3-1. What'd you see from this one in a 38-14 win for the Chargers?
Well, I think all you have to do is look at the box score for the Chargers rushing attack. Melvin Gordon, 18 rushes, 132 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He just made it look easy out there. Phillip Rivers only had to throw the ball 20 times. I mean, I don't know the stat, but I can't imagine the last time Phillip Rivers only threw the ball 20 times in a game. I mean, this Chargers offense has been built on him just throwing the ball all the time. So, easy win for the Chargers. Baker Mayfield, 238 yards passing, one touchdown, two interceptions. I think more or less this is kind of what he's going to be, I think. I think he'll improve on the touchdown to interception ratio, but I think he's a gunslinger. He's just going to throw the ball, and sometimes you get interceptions, sometimes you get touchdowns. That's just how it goes. But
that's the way it is.
The wide receivers for the Cleveland Browns are not showing up at all. Neither are their running backs. I mean, this was a bad game for them from top to bottom. Their best player was a rookie out of Texas A&M, drafted in the sixth round, Damian Ratley. Six catches for 82 yards. just this Browns team, they're night and day.
Yeah.
It's hard to judge them because they look good one week and then they come out with this and they just look bad.
I completely agree. The biggest, when I went back and watched the film, the biggest takeaway for me was the Chargers pass rush. Without Joey Bosa, they looked really good. They had 5 sacks, but they were just getting to Mayfield every time. Forced him to roll out of the pocket, forced him to throw some of those interceptions. But, you know, they were just stopping drives here and there with those sacks and, you know, losses of yards. And that was really good to see for them without Joey Bosa, which is a pass rush that we questioned without him. But for them to be that effective without him is really good for a Chargers team who needs to be able to mount wins right now. They have not been able to mount wins in the past few years. And if they can mount wins now, it's huge for them in the playoff outlook. But Phillip Rivers, I think, has honestly emerged as an MVP candidate. He looks really good. He had an 87.0 QBR rating last week. And Melvin Gordon looked, I mean, God, if you watch the highlights, some of those cuts, he looked really, really good. He was making cuts and pushing people down. I was very impressed. And then Austin Ekeler, you got him going along with Gordon. This is a very effective backfield. I really like the Los Angeles backfield. And I think if Ekeler keeps it up, they could be one of the best duos in the league right now, the way they're playing. Ekeler and Gordon, really good. Rivers playing really well. Mayfield didn't look great, but like we said, you know, he's still evolving, still developing, but you'd like to see him be a little less careless with the ball, but that's a rookie expectation. So, yep, don't really know about Cleveland yet. We'll see. Everyone was real excited after their win 2 weeks ago, but now they're back down to 2-3-1. The Steelers are kind of riding the ship over there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, we'll see about Cleveland, but...
Interesting about the Chargers. Their 2 losses this year have come against the Los Angeles Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs, who have a combined record of 11-1 this season. So it's not like these were against bad teams.
Mm-mm.
This Chargers team is really good. And
very good team.
They should have made the playoffs last year, struggles early, but I think they're going to keep this going and look for them in the playoffs.
Yeah, look for them to win the AFC West, I'm telling you. I think it's a possibility. All right, we're going to move on now to... kind of a boring game over here. Not boring, but, you know, a matchup of mediocre teams. We're going to go with the Jets versus the Colts, where the Jets have won 42-34 in New York. The Jets are now 3-3. The Colts have dropped to 1-5. What did you see from this game in kind of a shaky game for both teams, to be honest?
Well, I think this is just... This was a perfect Indianapolis Colts game in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, 300 yards, throwing 4 touchdowns, but 3 interceptions.
Did you see the interceptions? 2 of them were tipped, 2 of them were crap. The two of his interceptions were not as far. I just want to get that out of the way. He had a pick 6, too, though. It literally just fell into the hands of the Jets.
Yeah,
but
he's missing T.Y. Hilton. I think he threw the ball 43 times for a guy who just missed an entire year with shoulder injuries.
Yeah.
You can't make him throw 43 times. I mean, this guy's going to throw... He's probably going to break the record for most attempts in a season. They're like, this shouldn't be happening. They need to get their run game going. Marlon Mack, 89 yards rushing, looked good. The Colts have been struggling to find a running back for years now. And I think if they can keep him going, I think he looked all right towards the end of last year. But... The Colts just struggle without T.Y. Hilton. Eric Ebron, a pretty good tight end right now for fantasy and in real life.
Yeah, he's on my team.
He's catching touchdowns, which is good. But the Jets just somehow they're scoring all these points. Their kicker had 7 field goals.
Yes, 7 field goals.
Yeah.
So don't get too excited, Jets. Don't get too excited.
Darnold, 280 yards. 2 touchdowns and an interception. I think he's starting to settle in, get a little more comfortable. Interesting, though, he did lose his favorite target, Quincy Enunwa.
Uh-huh.
So look for Jermaine Kearse to take over that role as the top Jets receiver.
Yep, Jermaine Kearse, Terrell Pryor, Robbie Anderson, they got a few weapons. This game... The reason why I said it was a shaky game for both teams, it was just very sloppy. Going back and watching the film, there was a lot of turnovers. Both teams were kind of careless with the ball, but yet they, you know, a combined 76 points. So, I mean, the offenses didn't look terrible, but this is just a New York Jets secondary that I thought would be better this year. Kind of letting me down there on my prediction with their secondary. But, you know, Andrew Luck looked fine. Again, two of those interceptions were due to tipped balls, nothing he can really do. And, you know, the Jets scored a touchdown off pick six. And they had another interception that they were to take down to, like, the five-yard line. But, yeah, the Colts secondary was the Colts secondary was absolutely shredded. Malik Hooker had an interception, but my goodness were they shredded. Just, you know, Robbie Anderson was able to get down the field three times. Jermaine Kearse looked good. Terrell Pryor got in the end zone. But yeah, absolutely shredded. So that's concerning for the Colts secondary with a good player like Malik Hooker, but he can't carry the whole defense. Colts are playing catch up the whole game. I predicted that they would come back late, but they were unable to. We actually missed our picks on this one.
I believe I had the Jets.
Okay, yeah, I had the Colts plus 2.5, so that was wrong for me. Ryan had the Jets minus 2.5 there, so he was right as the Jets won by 8. So, yeah, just sloppy game overall. Still don't know where the Jets are. We kind of know who the Colts are at this point. But it'll be interesting to see what the Jets can do the rest of the season as they're in a position to possibly make the playoffs with their record right now. But we'll see what they do down the stretch. We'll see if Darnold can really settle in and see what they can do in the AFC East that is kind of full of greedy teams. But let's move on now to Washington versus Carolina, where Washington has won 23-17, putting them to 3-2 and dropping Carolina to 3-2 as well. This was kind of a surprise game. I actually picked Carolina. No, I picked Washington. Good for me. Where is it?
I think that line was plus one. Carolina.
There it is.
A pick'em.
Yeah, it was basically a pick'em. I picked Washington minus one. Ryan picked Carolina plus one, so he was wrong. I was right there. Not what you expected here. You definitely were thinking Carolina win. You thought it'd be a blowout after the abysmal performance from Washington on Monday Night Football. But what did you see from this game going back at it?
Well, Cam, decent day for him. 275 yards throwing, two touchdowns, interception. 43 yards rushing. I think Cam Newton might be the most frustrating quarterback in the NFL. If he could learn how to be more accurate, if he didn't need to throw the ball so
hard. The number of overthrows in that game.
He could dominate this league. I mean, this guy is just a massive human being. He can run the ball like a running back. He can throw the ball with the best of them, but he has no accuracy whatsoever. Christian McCaffrey, not a great game for him, only 20 yards rushing, 46 yards receiving. But look for Greg Olsen to continue to get worked back in the offense. Mm-hmm. It's his first game
back. He came
back
early.
46 receiving yards, so look good for him. Alex Smith, surprisingly, with what the score was and in a Redskins win, only 163 yards throwing. But that's basically what he is.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what he is. Game manager.
He's never... I mean, he might occasionally throw for huge numbers, but he's a dink-and-dunk quarterback.
Well, they don't have the weapons for him to throw for big numbers.
He gets the job done. Adrian Peterson, 97 yards rushing.
Man, did you watch that?
Another
good
day. Did
you watch the tape of A.P. Peterson? He still has burst, man. I mean, you watched it. I saw the moment he got that ball.
You wouldn't expect it from what he's been
doing
the past two years. Yeah,
he looked really good.
Another good day for him. But, yeah, this Carolina team, I mean, at the end, they had the ball in the red zone, and they just completely mismanaged it. They kept going for the touchdown when it was...
Yep.
They only had... I think they got second and five. They went for the touchdown three straight plays. Like, get the first down and then go for the end zone. It's just complete mismanagement.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina should have won this game easily.
Yeah, they had a two-minute drill down there. They got down in the red zone and couldn't convert
on
fourth.
It's just mismanagement, and that's what happens. You lose by a touchdown.
Look, the Panthers are all 10- and 15-yard slants and out routes. That's all they are. I mean, that's what they're effective on. They don't run that all the time, but that's what they're effective on because those intermediate passing throws are the throws that Cam Newton can make, because clearly he cannot throw downfield. They don't have any... I mean, Funchess looked good. I will say that. Funchess looked really good. I went back and watched the tape on Funchess. He had a really nice touchdown. His hands looked great. But they just have not been able to go downfield. We talked about it during the preview, and we said they need to go downfield to win the game. They didn't do that. And that's why they didn't win the game. And Josh Norman looked good. He had an interception on a horrible decision by Cam Newton. Just kind of chucked it up there. It was an absolutely terrible throw. And he actually had a peanut punch. He had a fumble, a forced fumble for Josh Norman. He looked good. He had his first interception in 20 games. But yeah, Redskins, nice bounce back win for them to keep them on pace in the NFC East. Good win for them. We're going to move on now to this game that was actually in London. Seattle at Oakland in London. Seattle has won 27-3, putting them at 3-3. And Oakland is now 1-5, looking like probably the worst team in the NFL. What do we see from this one?
This was a blowout from the beginning. Russell Wilson didn't even have a great day. But the Seattle rushing attack actually didn't look bad. Chris Carson, 59 yards. Rashad Penny, 43 yards. Mike Davis, 21 yards. And Russell Wilson, 20 yards. So, a pretty good day for them rushing. Doug Baldwin starting to look like he's back from his injury.
Yep, looked 90 good.
90 yards receiving. But, oh my gosh, is this Raiders team bad.
They
are so bad. Derek Carr, 142 yards.
You see him cry on the field.
Yeah, I mean, this is just bad. And you thought Eli Manning's stats were bad when it comes to how far he's throwing the ball. Of Derek Carr's 142 passing yards.
This isn't 2016, all right?
138.6 of those were from yards after the catch.
Wow.
That's 97.6% of his total passing yards were from yards after the catch. I mean, how does that happen? And then Marshawn Lynch, I'm sorry, is injured. Look for Jalen Richard more if you're desperate in fantasy. This team's going to have to throw the ball a lot if they ever want to try and win. He's probably their best receiving back. He's probably going to split time with Doug Martin.
Yeah.
But this Raiders team is just, they're so bad. And don't be surprised if they start to look for a new quarterback. I know they just signed.
Yeah.
They just signed Derek Carr to a
big
deal.
Contract.
But there's ways for them to get out of it without killing their salary cap. They're going to have a high draft pick this year. John Gruden has a 10-year deal. He's going to start wanting to bring in his own guys, as evident by wanting a first-round pick for Khalil Mack, maybe trading Amari Cooper. I think this Raiders team is going to get a huge makeover soon.
Very huge.
And I would not be surprised if Derek Carr is not their starting quarterback next year.
100% agree. Like he said, they're shopping Khalil Mack, or they already shopped Khalil Mack. They're shopping Amari Cooper, so they might get another pick from that. I don't think they'll get a first-rounder for him at this point. Probably a second and third. I picked Oakland +3. Don't ask me why. Ryan picked Seattle -3, and he went for the under, so he was right on both of those. Not going to say too much about this game. Oakland offensive line looked horrible. Seattle's had 6 sacks. Just, again, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Boring football game. Oakland is terrible. Seahawks, they're 3-3 now, so they can make some noise in the NFC playoff race. We'll have to see. We're going to move on now, though, to an AFC North matchup, Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati, where Pittsburgh has won the game 28-21 by a late fourth quarter touchdown by Antonio Brown. Puts Pittsburgh at 3-2-1, Cincinnati at 4-2. Cincinnati still leads the division, but a huge win for Pittsburgh. What did you see from this one?
This is kind of what I expected. Pittsburgh Cincinnati, a shootout. James Conner, another big day, 111 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns.
Really nice.
Andy Dalton, not a great day, but kind of what you expect. But Tyler Boyd has emerged as a clear second option.
Oh, I love
option.
Tyler Boyd, yeah.
2 more touchdowns today, on Sunday. And Pittsburgh has now beaten Cincinnati 7 times in a row. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger just continues to own the Bengals. I thought the Bengals would win this game, but Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, just too much for the Bengals.
Yep, I picked Steelers plus 2.5, so that was correct as they won the game. Ryan actually picked Cincinnati minus 2.5, and he picked the over, so he was wrong on both of those. Yeah, Steelers offense just looked really nice. They got Brown going later in the game with the touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster was the primary receiver, though. James Conner still filling the Le'Veon void, looking really good. Le'Veon actually tweeted about him during the game and said, "I see you, James." He had a nice little rumble carry, an angry run over there, knocking some guys over. And I really liked from the Steelers, who's a guy who's really emerging as a nice tight end, is Vance McDonald. God, can he run some people over? My God. But yeah, he's becoming a primary target for Roethlisberger. I think that's good for him. Roethlisberger looked good again. 369 yards, touchdown, 32 for 46 passing. Again, Mixon looked really good coming back for the Bengals. I really liked what I saw from Mixon. That late stairs touchdown, which is actually really important. This is the Bengals, they do this a lot because they're a dirty team. There was a big penalty down the stretch. You saw that on Dre Kirkpatrick. Pass interference, I know that's a tough one, but got to be better with penalties down the stretch. That put them in a good position to win the game. That's just bad. That's just bad
play. Perfect with another hit to the helmet.
Yep, on Brown. He didn't get ejected for that, though. No. He just got flagged.
I don't think he got flagged. I think
Brown was out for a little bit. Antonio Brown was out for a little bit after that. So that's probably why we didn't see him. That's right.
Yeah.
Good for Pittsburgh. Good for Pittsburgh to be able to move to 3-2-1. And, again, I think they're riding the ship over there after all the turmoil, all the talk about, you know, the controversy going on in the locker room with Le'Veon and then the whole Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger thing. So it was a nice divisional win. I think Cincinnati's going to go on a little bit of a skid. I still don't think they're legit, even at 4-2. I'm not sure enough about who they are. So I think Pittsburgh is, you know, proving that they're still, once again, the team to be in the AFC North. So we'll have to see. But good win for Pittsburgh. Let's move on to my surprise pick of the week that actually hit. This was Los Angeles at Denver, where the Rams have won 23-20, moving them to 6-0, the only undefeated team in the NFL, and dropping Denver to 2-4. I had Denver in this one, and Ryan had the Rams. Well, yeah, I had Denver plus 7, so that was right. And
yeah,
Ryan had Los Angeles minus 7, and the over, he thought it was going to be a shootout, turned out not to be. But a big performance from Todd Gurley, his best career rushing day. What did you see from this one in Denver?
Uncharacteristic game from Jared Goff, at least from what we've seen so far this season. Maybe the cold got to him, I'm not sure. A little
snowed earlier in the day.
In Denver, below freezing degree temperatures, I believe. But Todd Gurley absolutely went off in this game. I mean, 208 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, just lit up the Broncos defense. Denver is actually the first team to allow back-to-back 200-yard rushers in NFL history last week with Isaiah Crowell.
Where do you think that's coming from? It's got to be coming from the linebackers because Bradley Chubb looked nice, but, I mean, God.
I mean, yeah, this is just, since they won that Super Bowl.
I mean, is there
Bowl,
something wrong schematically?
I think they just lost so many people after they won that Super Bowl. I think it's just going downhill for them. But Robert Woods, another good day receiving 109
really
yards. I think he appears to be the most dependable wide receiver for the Rams. I think Brandon Cooks has maybe more upside with the deep threat. But I think
that's who he is.
Consistently, Robert Woods just keeps getting yards and touchdowns. And I think he's the guy that Jared Goff looks to. Case Keenum, 322 yards throwing, 2 touchdowns and an interception. But surprisingly, this Broncos offense did nothing in the running department against the Rams defense, who's actually not very good against the run.
Yeah, they're not great against the run.
Royce Freeman only 22 yards, Phillip Lindsay 18 yards, Devontae Booker 15 yards, just not a good day rushing. Manuel Sanders, big day for him, 115 yards and a touchdown. He is Case Keenum's favorite target. He has 54 targets on the season, the most of any Bronco. Keenum just likes to look for Sanders throughout the game.
Well, speaking of Sanders, he actually this was funny. I don't know if you saw this. So Sanders, it was a pretty deep ball down in the end zone. Sanders catches it, kind of falls down around the goal line and rolls into the end zone and proceeds to taunt the Rams defender. He gets flagged, but it's called a touchdown. So everyone's like, okay, who cares? It's going to be inflicted on the kickoff. It's 15 yards, whatever, right? So they go back and review it. Turns out he was down at the 1, and then, you know, the 15-yard penalty now actually matters. So then they get pushed back to the 16, and they have to settle for a field goal there. So that was actually a big play that no one's talking about that actually hurt them. Boneheaded play from Emmanuel Sanders. I understand, you know, you thought it was a touchdown, so you think it's, you know, not a big deal even if you get the penalty, but for a veteran guy like that, you just got to be smarter, yeah. Even, you know, no matter what the circumstance is. So, but yeah, Broncos looking good on passing there. Case Keenum was encouraging after a lot of people were kind of destroying him after the previous game. He didn't look very good. But the Rams did a really good job, or the Broncos did a really good job of holding the Rams to field goals. Terrible rush defense, but again, they did good when the Rams were in Bronco territory. They were able to hold them to field goals. Jared Goff didn't have a very productive game. He had a QBR of 28.7, 50% completion rate, and 200 yards and interception. So no touchdowns from Goff this week. He didn't look great. Bradley Chubb, 3 sacks on the day. He looked really nice. He's emerging as the player that they thought he would be. But again, Todd Gurley, 2 touchdowns, 208 yards was just too much for the Broncos to overcome. He looked really good, hitting the holes, cutting, looked really nice. And do you think Keenum's a problem in Denver? This is a guy where they had Trevor Siemian last year, so getting Keenum is for sure an upgrade, but I don't know if this is the team that can make the... I don't think this is the team that can make the playoffs this year, but in the future, they drafted Chad Kelly. He actually got in the game because Keenum was hurt for a second, but... is this the guy? I mean, I don't know how long his contract is. He's definitely not the long term.
3 years, I believe.
3 years. So he's obviously not the long term solution in Denver. But for the next 2 years, they have some talent. They should be able to make the playoffs the next 2 years. Is he a guy that they want to keep, or do you think they have to go to the draft to find a quarterback for their future now?
I've never been a big Case Keenum believer. I think he had a good year last year, but I don't think he is a starting quarterback in the league that will consistently bring a team to the playoffs. Maybe he'll get lucky and get a team there like last year, but I just don't think this is the answer for the Broncos. If they want to start competing again for Super Bowls, I think they're going to have to find a new quarterback. Maybe it is Chad Kelly. Maybe they draft someone this year, but I don't think Case Keenum's the answer. He puts up the stats, but I just think in those key situations where you need your quarterback to be clutch, I don't think he's the guy that can do it.
I agree. If you go to last year, the Minnesota Miracle, you know, let's not credit all that to Case Keenum, because that is a 1-in-a-million play, and then they get destroyed by the Eagles. So, you know, he's good for them now, and I think he is. I don't know if he is what they wanted. They can't have expected him to be what he was in Minnesota. They just can't have expected that. And he obviously wasn't going to be what he was in Minnesota. He's not that consistent. He's doing, you know, he's a game manager right now. He's putting up yards. But they're just not winning games. And a big part of it is just because of their defense. So Keenum definitely not the long-term option. We'll see what they do in the draft. We'll see if Chad Kelly becomes a factor at all. We haven't heard really anything about him. I saw some fans calling for Chad Kelly. I don't know why. I don't think he's ready to play yet. But yeah, so definitely Keenum not the long term. But regardless, Denver falls to 2-4 in a very competitive AFC West. So pretty concerning for them. And Rams stay the only undefeated team in the NFL at 6-0. Look pretty unstoppable. So, yep. All right, we're going to go to Jacksonville at Dallas right now, where Dallas has blown out Jacksonville 40-7, putting both teams at 3-3. Ryan had the Jaguars -3, so very wrong there. I actually took the Cowboys +3, so I was right on that one. What did you see in this blowout win? Very surprising blowout win by the Dallas Cowboys.
All I can say is woof. I mean, this was an awful game for the Jaguars. I mean, you got Jalen Ramsey talking trash, all season, and then they say, what happened? And he says, I don't know.
Come on, dude.
If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk, or at least act like you are. I mean, Blake Bortles, only 149 yards passing.
He's a
touchdown
problem.
And an interception. TJ Yeldon, 41 yards rushing. This team really misses Leonard Fournette. Fournette completely changes their offense. They don't have to rely on Bortles so much. They're looking at a potential return this week. But the Jaguars' top receivers, Keelan Cole, 41 yards. Dede Westbrook, 38 yards and a touchdown. Not a good week for Jacksonville on offense and defense. Dak for the Cowboys looked really good. He got 183 yards passing, two touchdowns, 82 yards rushing as well, and a touchdown. So a big day for him. Zeke, 106 yards and a touchdown. Obviously, their most reliable player consistently shows up. And finally, Cole Beasley has shown up. I mean, people were expecting him to have a really good season this year after Dez Bryant left. He was one of their only threats through the air. At 101 yards, two touchdowns, showed up. But the Jaguars, I mean, this team is just, they're night and day every single week. And for whatever reason, they just can't find any consistency. Oddly enough, when a team has 30-plus rushing attempts against the Jaguars, they're now 3-0. When they have less than 30, they're 0-3. If you're playing the Jaguars...
Ground to pound, baby.
Yeah, get that running game moving. And for whatever reason, the Jaguars can't hold up when you have a ton of rushing attempts.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's just... They got to figure it out in Jacksonville if they want to make it to the AFC Championship game again this year.
Agreed. All right, listen, the key to this game and the key to the Dallas Cowboys was Dak Prescott. I mean, this is what the Cowboys have needed to do with Prescott all year. This is what they did with him in 2016, and that's rushing. That's putting him on read options, letting him go out of the pocket and make plays. And when he does that, they're a very successful team. Like you said, 11 carries for 82 yards, his best rushing performance of his career, and which is why they put up 40 points. Again, Cole Beasley, huge impact player for the Cowboys. When Cole Beasley and Dak Prescott are connecting, they're a very hard football team to beat, to be honest. And he might be the key to their success. He might be the key to their success this year. Who else do they have? Tavon Austin? Gallup? I mean, come on now. Dez over there.
Not much.
But yeah, this is a Jacksonville defense that was ranked number one in the NFL after 4 weeks. They dropped... they did not look good last week. They did not look good this week. I don't know if they're justified. I don't know if they're validated. What is going on.
This week, teams just, they didn't want to play defense. Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to play defense in the NFL this week.
But again, a lot of it is creativity from Dak Prescott. Going out of the pocket and making those plays. I absolutely loved what I saw from Prescott. Ezekiel Elliott was who he is. Ground and pound, baby. 106 yards on 24 carries. I loved what he did. And this is a Cowboys team this is finally what they've been looking for all year. This is what they were consistently in 2016. And that's why they were 13-3. Their defense looked really good. They held up to that standard of being eighth in the NFL. They looked really nice. Jacksonville with only 7 points. But again, the biggest thing for Jacksonville, what everyone should be talking about, is not only Blake Bortles, but obviously Leonard Fournette. It changes their whole offense. They're a completely different team when Fournette is on the field. So, when's he going to be back? I don't know.
Possible return this week.
Even if he plays... You never know. He was injury prone last year too. I'm pretty sure he got injured last year.
I think he got injured
in the playoffs.
Three games last year.
Yeah, and he got injured in the playoffs. I remember that.
Yeah.
He's injury prone, so that is concerning for Jacksonville. But again, we said this in the Giants Eagles game. I think I'm going bold. I think Eli Manning gets traded to the Jaguars for whatever reason. I like the Tom Coughlin connection up there. I think he can be a better quarterback in Jacksonville. who knows? Maybe I'm crazy. I think it's possible.
That could happen last year.
Yeah, it might be too late now because this year he's just absolutely horrible. I don't know if they're even gonna want him.
Is Eli Manning even better than Blake Bortles for this point?
I mean, I don't know. No one really knows. They're both two of the arguably worst quarterbacks in the NFL right now. So, you think the AFC still runs for the Jags? Aside from the Patriots, you think it's still Jags are still a huge threat in the AFC or contenders or not?
I think it's all going to be contingent on if Leonard Fournette can come back and come back healthy. Yep. I mean, you don't want to see him coming back, getting injured, missing a week, and then coming back, getting injured. They need to make sure he's completely healthy because it completely changes their team. If they can get into January and use that ground and pound attack, get Leonard Fournette going, I think they can get back to what they were last year. I think they can make a run at the AFC Championship again. But, I mean, when you're relying on TJ Yeldon, Keelan Cole, and D.D. Westbrook, it's just... it's not great. You need Leonard Fournette to spread everything else out, and hopefully he can come back for them.
Agreed. So, yep, I had Cowboys, he had Jags. Concerning for Jacksonville, encouraging for Dallas. We'll have to see. We're going to move on now to Baltimore at Tennessee. A very boring game, if you say, aside from the 11 sacks. But Baltimore has won 21-0, putting them at 4-2 and dropping Tennessee to 3-3 as they get shut out. I had Tennessee plus 3, which was extremely horrible prediction. Ryan had Baltimore minus 3 and also had the under of 41, so he was right on both of those. What did you see in this absolute dominant performance from Baltimore?
Even if you look at the box score, you don't really see much that tells the tale of a blowout. Joe Flacco, 238 yards throwing, a touchdown and interception. Alex Collins, 54 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Michael Crabtree finally got going for the Ravens, 93 yards receiving, a touchdown. He leads the Ravens in targets this year, so he's definitely Joe Flacco's favorite target. But I think the real story is Marcus Mariota, 10 of 15, but only 117 yards. I mean, it was just a bad day for him. He's actually the first quarterback since Jay Cutler in 2010 to be sacked more times than he had completion. So he was sacked 11 times on Sunday.
I remember that game. That
and sick. He had 10 completions. I mean, if that doesn't tell you how poorly this game went for the Titans... their leading rusher was Marcus Mariota with 25 yards. Their leading receiver, Tajay Sharp, with 33 yards. I mean, this was the Baltimore Ravens defense just completely taking over the game and proving why they're one of the best in the league.
I'm not going to put the blame on... I'm going to put the blame on the Titans offensive line. Are you freaking kidding me? 11 sacks... ties a franchise record for the Ravens, one away from an NFL record. I mean, are you kidding me? 11 sacks? Listen, I know the Ravens' defense is good. Yes, I know they have Terrell Suggs. I know they can get to the quarterback. But 11 sacks should never be happening. I'm not going to put it too much on Mariota. He had an okay completion percentage, but he just had no... there's nothing you could do in that. The Ravens did a really good job schematically. They game planned well. That was a big part of the reason why they had so many sacks. Alex Collins looked nice on the ground. I liked what he did. He had 2 touchdowns. You know, not that many yards, only 54 on 19, but 2 touchdowns were nice for them. The Ravens are still a team. This is who they are going to be. They're going to be an average offense, and they're going to try to win games by defense. We know what Joe Flacco is. We know he's never going to light a team up for that much. So they're going to have to rely on this defense. I don't know if it'll be sustainable. I think this is, you know, it's not a fluke by any means, but this is not what you're not going to see the Ravens get 11 sacks and shut every team out every week.
Yeah, for sure.
But they are looking like one of the better defenses in the NFL, and if you're Tennessee, you got to be concerned. You really do. I mean, 0 points in any game, no matter what defense is against, is concerning. This offensive line, which they have talented players, where they have Taylor Lewan, I believe they have Jack Conklin. They have good, talented players on the offensive line. So, I mean, the Ravens must have been really good schematically to get after Mariota, but the rushing attack is... very concerning. I said in the preview they needed Deion Lewis to get going, needed to do creative things with him for them to be successful on offense. And look, he had 5 carries for 9 yards and no 2 receptions for 5 yards. So, again, this is not a very threatening receiving core from the Titans, not a very threatening rushing core. They need to figure out whether they want to go all in with Deion Lewis or if they want to go all in with Derrick Henry, because neither of them are looking like they could be that primary back. So, definitely concerned.
We gotta figure some stuff out in Tennessee.
Gotta figure something out in Tennessee. But yeah, that was an ugly game. It was raining. Ugh. All right, let's move on now to the most exciting game of the week. This was incredible. I loved this game. New England has beaten the previously undefeated Kansas City Chiefs 43-40. It combined 83 points. New England now moves to 4-2. And back-to-back wins, and Kansas City moves to 5-1. I had New England -3.5, just barely got that wrong. Ryan had Kansas City +3.5, so he was right there. What did you see from this incredible Sunday night football game?
Well, this is actually exactly what I was expecting. I was expecting both teams to light it up offensively, but Bill Belichick, he knows how to beat these young quarterbacks. It doesn't matter how hot they are. Quarterbacks with 10 or fewer career starts prior to playing against Patriots are 0-9. So I mean, Mahomes actually had a pretty good night. 352 yards.
He was okay.
4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Slow start, but he picked it up. Kareem Hunt actually had a pretty good week. Hasn't been great so far this year, but 80 yards rushing, 105 yards receiving, and a touchdown. But Tariq Hill just continues to tear it up. 142 yards and 3 touchdowns, and a little bit of beer thrown into his face to go along
with
it.
We'll talk about that later, but that pissed me off.
Yeah, but Tom Brady, you can't say anything else about this guy. He has 340 yards through the air, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, or 0 interception, sorry, and his 200th career victory, first player in NFL history to reach 200 victories. Sony Michel continues to give this Patriots offense a new dimension, over 100 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. Gronk, a big day for him, 97 receiving yards, didn't get a touchdown, probably should have been allowed to get a touchdown for Kansas City to win, but it's difficult for defenders to give up touchdowns on purpose. But I think the most interesting part of this game was Josh Gordon. Only had 5 catches for 43 yards, but he had 9 targets, which led the Patriots. So that tells you that Tom Brady is looking for him. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get Josh Gordon involved, and I think that's huge, because if Josh Gordon can get going, he's one of the best receivers in the league, talent-wise. So if the Patriots can get him going, that just adds another threat to this already great offense. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
The Patriots, I thought this was going to happen. They're just too good, especially at night. I mean, prime time, if you can bet on Tom Brady, then do it, because he knows when to show up.
Yep, he led the game-winning drive that led in a Steven Gostkowski field goal to win the game. But, this is what we thought it was. It was a shootout of 2 pretty bad defenses. Chiefs right now last in the NFL in defense, and New England with a pretty pedestrian one. But, this offense is really starting to scare me now. They were very concerning in the first 3 weeks, and now they've got all their weapons back. You were right about Edelman. He had a nice game. He had more points than Josh Gordon in fantasy, so you made the right fantasy pick for whoever that guy was online, so good for you. Sony Michel's looking really nice to them. I love what they're doing with him. He had 2 touchdowns and 106 yards. He's really good. Rob Gronkowski is what he's going to be. 3 receptions, 97 yards. I just saw a fantasy thing that said, should they be concerned about Gronk? I don't think so. Still looks like the most dominant tight end in the NFL. And if you go to the Kansas City side, I think the stats are a little bit inflated for Patrick Mahomes. He didn't have a great game. Trust me. He had a good game, but he He made some bad mistakes. Yeah. He rolled out of the pocket, made some questionable throws. And, you know, when Mitchell Trubisky does that, it's scrutiny all over the board. But no, when Patrick Mahomes does it, it's you know, he gets a pass, right? He gets a free pass because he's Patrick Mahomes. No, so I don't understand. Again, you know, he had the 75-yard touchdown or to Tyreek Hill, he had like the 67-yard touchdown to Kareem Hunt. Both guys are absolutely wide open. So I'm not praising Mahomes too much in this game. He didn't look terrific. The stats, again, I think are a little bit inflated. But this is a question I had for you. Kansas City defense looks terrible again, and somehow the Chiefs almost did it again. The offense almost carried them to a win, but can this offense carry the Chiefs defense all season and put them in a position to where, you know, they're going to have to put up 30-plus points to make it to the playoffs, 30-plus points in the playoffs? Do you think this D can carry this team and all the way up into the Super Bowl, do they think?
I really don't think so. I think eventually the defense is just going to get tired. The offense is going to get tired. You can't expect your offense to bail you out every single game. I mean, occasionally bailing the defense out, you got to do it to be successful. But the only reason this team is 5-1 is because of their offense, and that's just not going to work.
They are last in defense.
All season long. Their defense is horrible. And, I mean, they went down, they were down 14-plus at the half. The Patriots have won 89 straight games when leading by 14-plus points at half. Their last loss...
At half?
At half. Their last loss was Week 13 in 1987 to John Elway. So, I mean, the Chiefs almost pulled this out. Man. But you cannot rely on this offense to do that every single week. They came close to ending that streak, but I mean, this defense is horrible, and eventually it's going to catch up with them if they don't start playing better.
I completely agree. Listen, people, they're not going to be able to put up 40-plus points every game. I know they did in the first six, but again, they're not going to be able to do it every game. It will catch up to them. It caught up to them last year.
Yeah.
We talk about it every segment that we do. The great start and then the cool down, and I think this was the beginning of the cool down for them. Although they're playing a good Patriots team, I still think it's the beginning of a cool down. And the Chargers, who just got a win, they can mount wins. So Kansas City, I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you definitely should be concerned, because again, like we were talking about, this defense cannot carry the offense all year. They play the Bengals next week, which is a tough team to play against in Cincinnati. So we'll see, but definitely don't expect this Kansas City defense and this Kansas City team to be able to win football games solely off offense all year, because it's not going to happen. So definitely look out for that. But big win for the Patriots regardless. Concerning for the Chiefs. Let's move on now to the Monday Night Football matchup, which was actually a really good game, closer than a lot of people expected. We saw another Aaron Rodgers miracle, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. Not really miracle, but kind of a breakdown on defense for San Francisco, but we'll talk about it in a second. Green Bay won the game 33-30, moving them to 3-2-1. San Francisco drops to 1-5, dead last in the NFC West. We both picked Green Bay 9.5. We thought it'd be a blowout, but man, were we wrong. What did you see from this one?
CJ Beathard actually looked pretty good.
The mustache. I mean, I'm putting it on the mustache.
Yeah, 245 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Marquise Goodwin got going, 126 yards.
I like him.
2 touchdowns. I mean, the guy was in the Olympics, for God's sake. He is fast. He can move. The 49ers had a pretty good rushing attack with Raheem Mostert. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name.
I don't know how to pronounce it either, but
this guy got 87 yards rushing. Last week, I'm pretty sure he had 1 carry for 5 yards and a fumble, and then he was done. He comes back, 87 yards rushing. Matt Breida, 61 yards rushing and a touchdown. But the key thing here is just Aaron Rodgers, 425 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and once again, just vintage Rodgers in clutch situations on a game-winning drive. I mean, the throw he made to St. Brown on the sideline, a perfect throw, only where his guy could get it. A key throw, actually, to getting Mason Crosby in range for that field goal. The Packers had 3 guys with over 100 receiving yards. Devontae Adams, 132. Jimmy Graham, 104. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling with 103. I mean, who saw that coming? But I think the thing that is most important for the Packers is to get Alex Jones going. He only had 8 carries for 41 yards, led the team, but he is their best running back by far. There should be no debate with Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams.
Agreed.
I mean, Jones is by far their most explosive back, their best overall back, and they're not going to go very far if they don't learn how to use him. Aaron Rodgers threw for 46 times, and while he can do that, if you have the ability to run, then you need to do it. That's how teams win. You can't rely on Aaron Rodgers to do this every single game.
Right.
And they need to get their running game going, and that starts by using Jones more.
I mean, yeah, look, the Packers only won this game by 3 points, and Aaron Rodgers had 425 yards and 2 touchdowns. Usually when that happens, it's a blowout win. So, right. Everything that you said was correct. I completely agree. CJ Beathard looked good. And if you're a Packers fan, be concerned. To be completely honest, be concerned. This is a bad 49ers team with a backup quarterback, and you win by 3 points in the final seconds. Don't be celebrating in Green Bay, because this defense is horrible. This defense is absolutely terrible. They make clutch plays when they need to. For some reason, Clay Matthews is always getting a sack down the stretch. I don't know why it happens, but this defense is horrible. Don't be encouraged. The secondary looks better for them, but still, they got burned by Marquise Goodwin. And the Rush defense is horrible, as you can see. And Rodgers won't be able to do this every game, and when he doesn't, which was the last 2 games, they're not going to win. So be concerned if you're Green Bay. If you're San Francisco, season's over at this point. You just want to get confidence for certain players. It is what it is. You knew this was going to happen after Garoppolo lost. It was an exciting game, though. Very terrific game. One thing I do want to point out, this is from Next Gen Stats on Twitter. Devontae Adams, who finished with 10 receptions, 132 yards, and 2 touchdowns, all 10 of his receptions were targeted to the left or middle part of the field. Whenever the Bears play the Packers, it's always Devontae Adams on an out route or something on the left side of the field. I don't know why. That's always the way it is. I don't know why. Anyway, Richard Sherman was aligned at LCB on 67 of 68 plays. So that means every time Rodgers threw the ball to Devontae Adams, he avoided Richard Sherman. So that's honestly good schematically by the Packers to get the ball to Devontae Adams on the left side where Richard Sherman isn't positioned, because he is clearly their lockdown cornerback. He can do that to teams. So pretty good job by the Packers schematically. That's, I hate praising the Packers, but
Sherman, he only plays on one side.
I know.
And, I mean, he had a ton of good years, but teams started to learn, well, if they're not going to play our best wide receiver, we're going to move him over to the other side.
So. I mean, God, what was his name? I think his, I don't know, is Mahin, number 26. Awful coverage down the stretch. He's the one who let out the touchdown to Devontae Adams. I know that's an unbelievable pass from Rodgers in the end zone, high pointed the receiver, but he let out the out route that got to Adams, and then before the 20-yard pass to Vasquez or whatever, Valdez. So he was awful, and again, what they did was they got away from Richard Sherman.
And that last drive, I mean, the 49ers defense just sagged off completely. I know there's not a lot of time left, and I know you don't want the guy to beat you downfield, and you want to keep him in bounds, but you can't do that against Aaron Rodgers. No. Aaron Rodgers will find the soft spot in the defense. He will put the ball in the perfect spot, and you can't give this guy any time. You can't give this guy any life whatsoever. You stop him on third down. You get a penalty. Extends the drive. He runs for 30 yards straight up the middle. And then the rest is history.
I was kind of questioning the coverages down the stretch there. Because did the Packers have 0 timeouts on their final drive?
Yeah, 0 timeouts.
So what are you doing? Contain the out route. I don't know. Like, play zone coverage or something. I don't know why you're playing man-to-man there. And, you know, Devontae Adams is extremely effective on out routes. And it was clearly evident there. He clearly burned him, got that nice gain. Like, just play zone and cover it. You know they're not going to go inside. You know they're... I mean, if there's a safety breakdown and they go inside, they might score a touchdown. But the odds are you tackle them and they run out of time and it goes into overtime. And going back to the 49ers possession in which, with under 2 minutes left, C.J. Beathard threw that interception that got the Packers the ball.
for them to even set up that final drive. It's 3rd and 3. Horrible play call. I don't know what... Kyle Shanahan's one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. He's extremely creative on offense. And then you're just going to, like, C.J. Beathard throw it down the field 40 yards, just heaves it up there. No, like, run a slant, run a quick screen. I don't know. I don't think you do that there. Because even if you don't get it, you're able to punt it away. You control what goes on there. You get to suck a little bit of clock. But instead, you turn it over. You give them momentum. They get the ball at the 11-yard line. I mean, who knows? Punt could have gone for a touchback. That's all assumptions. But I just don't like the play call there at 3rd and 3. I think there's a lot of better things they could have done there instead of going immediately downfield. The Packers provided blitz on that play, as they always do, and it works effective. So I think Kyle Shanahan should have expected the blitz there and, like I said, called a better play. But it is what it is. San Francisco drops to 1-5. Green Bay goes 3-2-1. So that's it for our game reviews, but we're now going to go to a segment called The Best Things That We Saw in Week 6. Ryan, what was the best thing that you saw in Week 6?
The best thing that I saw in Week 6 is the Brockett man
getting his first start
with Miami. And he is now 3-0 in his first start with new teams. Of course, he played with Denver and he played with Houston. But the most interesting part about all of this is all three of his first starts with new teams. All
right, we're not talking
about
it.
Have come against the Chicago Bears. I mean, apparently
it's a curse, okay?
It's
don't blame it on the Bears.
It's an abrocalypse is what it is.
Oh my God.
I mean, this guy, he's 3-0 in his first starts with a new team, all against the Chicago Bears. 2015 with Denver, he beat the Bears 17-15. 2016, first start with Houston, he beats them 23-14.
Oh my God!
This, what else can you say? The Brock Lobster. I mean, he just wins games.
Where are you finding
against the Bears? The thing is, the Bears might be able to beat Denver in 2015. They might be able to beat Houston in 2016. Might be able to beat Miami on Sunday, but when it's Brock o'clock, you're just not going to win.
Listen, to be completely honest, when I saw the injury news that Ryan Tannehill was out, I got scared. To be completely honest,
you can't stop
most
the
fans
Brock.
In Chicago, most everyone around the world was, oh, let's go. Let's move the spread from -3 to -7. I was terrified. I don't know why. For whatever reason, it's just a thing. These types of things happen. These certain players do really well against certain teams.
Can't stop the Brock.
It was strange. It all concerned me. I would have honestly... I think we... To be completely honest, we win the game if Ryan Tannehill plays. To be completely honest.
I think so,
again,
too.
380 yards from Brock Osweiler. That's crazy.
For some reason.
Chicago
Bears cannot stop Brockadile
Dundee. I respect the best of the week from you. The best of the week from me. We're going to go to a little pregame action down in Dallas. We see UFC fighter Conor McGregor take the ball, go shotgun, proceed to throw the worst left-handed pass I've ever seen in my whole life. That was the best thing I saw from Week 6. I thought that was hilarious. He has gotten absolutely roasted on Twitter. He's all over social media for it. Not a great tryout for him if Jerry Jones is looking for a new quarterback. You know, maybe a good Jacksonville option, though. Could be better than Blake Bortles.
He did offer up an explanation. He said he didn't want to rip his suit.
Okay.
Custom-made suit. He didn't want to rip it.
Respectable.
So.
But still questioning.
But who was that guy? I mean, what was that? That was... I think anybody who has never watched a game of football might be able to throw a ball better than that.
I completely agree. I think both you and I can throw a football far better than that.
It's safe to say Conor McGregor is no Brockett launcher.
Okay, that is enough of the Brock Osweiler puns, but, you know, look out for it. You know, a little free agency. We may see Conor McGregor up there as a possible fit for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not sure. They got a great look at him in pregame. So, loved what I saw from Conor McGregor. Best thing I saw in Week 6. All right, that wraps it up, folks. We'll be back on Thursday for our Week 7 preview and predictions against the spread. Again, I went 8-7 this week. Ryan went 8-7, so we're both plus $100 in Week 6 and overall. So we'll see you guys on Thursday. Thanks for listening.
See ya.